Amen. You can be seated. Amen. Remember that there's a song. Isn't there a song that says, "Be exalted in my life"? It goes like, "In my life, Lord, be." That's not how it goes, is it? Well, I stepped out there in faith, didn't I? In my life, Lord, be glorified. It's not be exalted. Be glorified, yeah. You know, I got the witness from Pastor Tony, amen. Yeah. We might just, you know, we ought to do something like that, man. Just shock you guys, do a duet sometime. I'll take the male voice. Oh yeah, we'll shock them. Yeah. Well, get your Bibles out this morning. Let's get ready to get into the Word. I'm looking forward to this new series titled Filled. Filled at the same Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. It says He will quicken your mortal body through His Spirit that dwells in you. Amen. I'm looking forward to 2019. And all that it has for us. And let's get into the Word this morning. I want to share real quickly. First of all, I want to thank everybody who's a part of any Team Life. Team Life are those who have been ministering to you this morning, whether they're up on the platform, the stage, a musician, whatever. Team Life is the greeters who greeted you. Team Life is the ushers that handing things out to you right now. If you need a handout for this morning's message, raise your hand. One of the Team Life ushers will get one to you. I want to thank especially this morning for the Team Life children's workers, all those that help us out. On the first Sunday of every month, we have a family, our family service, and so all the kids are with us this morning. But I really want to just highlight a ministry that sometimes doesn't get a lot of notice, and it's the guys that are watching me. It's two gentlemen this morning. And someone in the back room. It's those that run these cameras every Sunday and also the video stuff in the back. Also want to give a shout out, I just thought about this, to our sound team. Seth, you're amazing, amen. Seth and Justin. But since we have started broadcasting on Facebook Live, we've always had video. Used to be that we was on television in the Dayton area. I still run into people. I still run into people that remember us being on television, but it became a WB station, and then the prices kept going up, kept going up, kept going up, and then technology has changed. Technology has changed now to where television limits us. If we were to be on television, we're just limited to be able to reach out into the area that that television broadcast reaches. But by internet, we can literally be watched this morning by anybody in the world that has internet access. We have people that have joined us from overseas many times every Sunday morning. We have the ability for those that aren't able to be here this morning to join us. And we have those that will watch online. And we have, since going live a couple months ago on Facebook, our audience continues to increase and increase. And now that it's on Facebook, we have the ability to track. And also we have the ability to advertise or to boost that after it's live. And I'm going to tell you this morning that we have some of our videos have been watched by over 2,000 people. Some of our videos, our normal is around 700. So normally, if we don't boost this, there will be about 700 views of this morning's service. That means our footprint is larger than what we just see in the natural in this building. And it's because of their faithfulness to do that. Now, what I want to say this morning is that we can use help in this area. And here's what's awesome about this ministry is that you still get to pay attention to the minister, all right? Because you literally have to follow him, all right? If I go this way, you got to follow me. If I go that way, you got to follow me. So you got to be in the service and that type of thing. But we're looking for some helpers in this area so that the ones who are signed up aren't doing it 3-4 times a month. And I tell you what, give them a hand for what they're doing. But we don't want them to carry that load alone, amen? We appreciate them. So if you would like to get involved, young people can get involved. Once you go from like going upstairs to children's church, start going over to the youth, a lot of times the youth are looking for that opportunity. But we need people, anybody that can follow along the camera, Okay, one Sunday a month, if you'll sign up, you're not just going to minister to the people that are in this building. You're going to reach out to people that are going to watch us on Facebook, watch us online. And I tell you what we're doing by us boosting it. It's very inexpensive. We can boost it in this area for about $20 a service. And that's crazy compared to what we used to cost to be on television. $20 a service, we can boost it, and it will reach up to 1,700 to 2,000 people, and it will show up on their Facebook, and we're averaging about 600 to 700 views, meaning that they actually will start watching it. We're not sure how long they watch it. They tell us it's at least 10 seconds, but we're reaching out and touching people's lives. And so I want to encourage you in 2019, and it may not be the television ministry. It may not be the online broadcast. But if you would like to get involved in that, we need help there. It may be ushers. Someone the other day texted me and said, how do I get involved with the ushers ministry? I want to encourage you, okay? I like it this way. Get involved in 2019 somehow, some way with the team life. Be a greeter. Be an usher. Be on the television ministry. If you love kids, get involved with the children ministry, because it's not just babysitting. It's changing these young people's lives. And what's amazing is we have seen and watched these kids come in, even as infants, and be dedicated in this church. We've been here long enough to see them dedicated, and now we're dedicating their children. And all the way through, from infants to children's church to youth, we've watched them grow up. Now, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that what has been put into them, that even though they may stray, they may go out and do their own thing for a while, what's been put in them cannot ever be taken away. So it's powerful ministry. You guys are involved in changing people's lives, all right? And so I want to encourage you to go from the door, just being someone that comes through the door, to being a part of the core, okay? In 2019, I want to challenge you. I love it that you're here and you come through the door.
Let Pastor Dan know, let myself know, Stephanie, let Stephanie know, or Julie, on the okay. back, any of us, let us know.
Happy birthday. I'm letting that one slide because it's your birthday, girl. You got one birthday gift. Huh? This is a one-man show. I'm just playing with her. What was you saying? I was too busy. I was too busy not believing that you were interrupting me. I know. Okay.
Say it again. If you'd like to get involved, let Pastor Dan know, let myself know, let Stephanie know, or let Miss Julie know.
You just wanted to get up here so we could be on television matching. Uh-huh. I want to let you know, I got a thumbs up. I was dressed first, JD. She picked her clothes out based upon what I had on.
I did.
All right. Happy birthday, babe. I love you. All right. Now you know how to get involved. Now you know how to go from just coming through the door to being a part of the core. Can you say amen? Now I want to just tell you this. We don't want to just be followers of Christ. Come on, right? What do we want to be? We want to be disciples. And being disciples means we get involved in helping make more disciples, touching other people's lives. So, if you come through the door, we love you. But help us impact people's lives by becoming a part of the core. Can you say amen? All right, get your Bibles out. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 this morning. It's part of the handout that we gave you, Living Life on Full. Verse 11 says, but if the Spirit of Him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Now, who is the one who raised Christ? God did, the Father did. Can you say amen? But notice it says, the one that raised up Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. How is God going to get life to this mortal body? How is God the same? The Father raised Christ from the dead by the Spirit. How is He going to get life to this mortal body? He says He's going to get life to this mortal body through the Spirit, through His Spirit that dwells in us. In Luke chapter 4, verse 1, not Acts chapter 4, verse 1 on your handout. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Apologize about that typo. Luke 4, verse 1, it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of God, the Son of Man, Jesus, who had been with the Father since the beginning of time, became flesh, dwelt among us. Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, says that he was full of the Holy Spirit. He returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. In Acts chapter 11, verse 24, in Acts 11, verse 24, it says, Barnabas was a good man. I like Barnabas. Barnabas was an encourager. In fact, his name means an encourager. Barnabas was an encourager. He was a large part of Saul's ministry, Paul's ministry. He was a large part of it. He was connected with Paul in his ministry, and he was an encourager. He is one that encouraged people. And we need those people in our life. We need those who will encourage each one of us. But I want you to see something this morning. It says Barnabas was a good man. A good man. Now, I believe I'm looking out here this morning, I'm seeing a bunch of good people. I'm seeing a lot of good people here this morning. But let me ask you this question. How many know just being good doesn't get it done? How many know that bad things, difficult things happen to good people? I mean, I don't know about you, but the Bible doesn't promise those who are good that you won't face obstacles and difficulties and trials and tribulations. No, in fact, the Bible says that in this world, we will have tribulation. In this world, we will have difficulty. This message that we're getting ready to get into this series about being filled with the Holy Spirit, living life on full, it is not a message about how we can somehow, some way, live almost superhuman to where we're never tired, we're never weary, we're never facing any obstacles, we're never in the valley, that there's never any difficult times coming our way, that there's no storms of life, that there's not trials that you're going to go through. That's not what I'm teaching. Because here's the thing, you are a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. And in your natural body, you can get tired. In your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, you can get worn out. The Bible talks about it. The Bible says, don't become weary while doing good. Well, if we don't have the ability to get weary, to give up, to faint, it says, don't become weary about doing good, because we will reap in due season if we faint not. If we don't give up, we don't quit. So the Bible tells us that we have the ability, and not only the ability and the potential, but we will become tired. We will become weary. We will be in our, now understand something, in our two parts of our being, soul and our body, we can get to the point where our gas tank is empty. And we've got to rest. And we've got to recharge. But there's another part of you, and that's what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about your spirit. The Bible says, out of your innermost parts of your being shall flow rivers of living water. And we're going to see this morning, that's talking about the Holy Spirit. In your spirit, you have the ability to be full of the Spirit, even when your physical man, your body and your soul are tired, almost ready to toss in the towel. Because Paul talked about this. Paul said that three times I asked the Lord about this. And he said, my grace is sufficient. And it says that the Lord said, my strength is made complete or perfect in weakness. And so Paul said, well, then I will boast in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can rest upon me. Because when I'm weak, then I'm what? Strong. What we got to understand is we're a three-part being. And there's times, here's the thing. If we teach this any other way, and you think that there's somehow, some way, by being led by the Spirit, living life full of the Spirit, is going to somehow, some way get to the point where you don't get physically weary, you don't get physically tired, I'm going to tell you that's not, because Jesus even had to rest. Jesus even had to separate. But what we can do is we can live life full of the Holy Spirit. Being good doesn't cut it. It says Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. I give you the definition there under point one for the word full. We find there in the New Testament. It means to be full, To be filled up as opposed to being empty means to be complete, lacking nothing. Now, I'm not talking, again, I'm not talking about your physical part of your man. I'm not talking about your soul. I'm not talking about that. But the Bible does say there in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, that through His Spirit on the inside of us, He can even quicken our mortal body. So even when we're weary, even when we're tired, His Spirit can even give us strength in those times of weariness. Can you say amen? I don't know about you, but I want to live life on full as opposed to empty. You know, last Sunday morning I talked about how my wife, she likes to have her car on full. I mean, she likes to keep it full. And there's even times where she said, are you driving? Are we driving your car? I said, no, we're driving your car. She said, my car's on full. Well, that's why we're taking your car. And then there's those, you know, I talked about Destiny. I mean, she knows how far she can go once the yellow light comes on. 31 miles. 31 miles? Yeah, the other day the yellow light came on. I said, babe, we got to get some fuel. She said, oh, Dad, I can go to Springfield and back. I said, what? Now, part of that is the season that she's in life. Amen. I mean, it used to be that gas was $3 a gallon. I remember Pastor Tony talking about he like every week he'd have like $20 and he'd fill it up, and if it was $4 a gallon, that's how much he got, and that type of thing. But now gas is a little bit cheaper, right? But I tell you what, we are not designed. Number one on your handout this morning, we are not created to live. We are created to live life on full as opposed to empty. We are created. Jesus, it says, was full of the Holy Spirit. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit. It talks about Paul was full of the Holy Spirit. It talks about Peter being full of the Holy Spirit. It talks about Stephen being full of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me tell you something. The Bible says that Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit right before he was stoned to death. It says that he was full of the Holy Spirit, and he looked up, and he saw heaven open, and he saw Jesus, the Son of God, standing at the right hand of God. He was full of the Spirit of God. Even in an incredible physical trial that took his life. We're created by God to live life on full as opposed to empty. John chapter 14, verse 16. John 14, 16. Let's get on to number two this morning. Jesus said in verse 16, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another. One translation says advocate. This translation says helper. He will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. It says, you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. Now, Jesus is talking to His disciples, okay? And He's telling His disciples, he said, I'm going to ask the Father to send you another helper, okay? The Holy Spirit. To send you another helper, the Holy Spirit. We're going to see this, that Jesus mentions the helper many times in the book of John. John records it about the Holy Spirit several times, about Him being the advocate, about Him being the helper. And here Jesus says, I'm going to ask the Father to send you another helper. And He said, the world doesn't know Him. The world can't receive Him. He said, but you know Him. You know Him. And then Jesus makes two statements there. He said, you know Him because He dwells with you. He dwells with you and He will be in you. Two different distinct things there. One, He said He dwells with you and He will be with you, and He will be in you. One translation says this, the New Living Translation says this, but you know Him because He lives with you now and later will be in you. Now, a couple things here, and there is so much that we can teach. There is so much, so I'm trying to do my best to stay on focus and to take us where we need to go, but I want you to see something here this morning concerning this. There's two distinct things here concerning the Holy Spirit. He can dwell with you Right? That's what it just said. He can dwell with you, and he can also what? Be in you. He said, you know him because he dwells with you. Now, he's talking to his disciples. Now, let me just say some of the things that his disciples had done with the Holy Spirit dwelling with them. First of all, they understood the revelation that Jesus was the Son of God. That can only come by the Holy Spirit. They also saw in their ministry people being healed, people being set free. They even said that even the demons are subject to us in your name. So the Holy Spirit being with them, they had seen and experienced some incredible things. But Jesus said, he's been with you, but he will be in you. Two different distinct things. With and in. Okay? Now, go with me to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 37. Now, I want to tell you this. It's good that the Holy Spirit is with us, but it's incredible when the Holy Spirit lives in us. John 7, 37. Now, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, from within him, from where? Within him will flow rivers of living water. Not from without him, but from what? Within him. Anyone who believes, right, in me, as the Scripture has said, from within him will flow rivers of living water. But he said this about the Spirit. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, which those believing in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet what? Glorified. Now, was the Holy Spirit not yet with them? No, the Holy Spirit was with them, but the Holy Spirit was not yet within them. Why? Because Jesus was not yet what? Glorified. Now, see, the Holy Spirit, I believe the Holy Spirit is everywhere. Okay? But when Jesus was glorified, the incredible thing was that the Holy Spirit was given not just to be with us, but to live in us. If the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Now that right there, if, means that he can either dwell in you or what? Not dwell in you. But I believe he's always with you. But I believe that he wants to dwell in you. Look at this in Acts chapter 10, verse 43. All the prophets spoke about him, saying that all who believe in him will have their sins forgiven through the power of his name. While Peter was still speaking, Peter is ministering here, and he's talking about how the prophets spoke about Jesus. How the prophet said that all who believe in him will have their sins forgiven through the power of his name. While Peter was still speaking, Peter's ministering, notice the Holy Spirit came down on all those who were listening to his message. The Jewish believers, there were some people, Jewish believers that had come with Peter. Now Peter had come and he's speaking, he's ministering. He's ministering to a group of Gentiles. He's ministering, he's speaking to those who are not Jewish, but Peter has Jewish believers that are accompanying him. And when the Holy Spirit falls upon the people while Peter is still speaking, in verse 45, the Jewish believers that had come from Joppa with Peter were amazed. They're amazed that God had poured out his gift of the Holy Spirit on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speaking in strange tongues and praising God's greatness. Peter stood up, spoke up. These people have received the Holy Spirit just as we also did. Can anyone then stop them from being baptized with water? So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay with them for a few days. Now, one thing that we're going to look at, not this morning, but we're going to look at, is there's two different times that the word baptism is used in the New Testament. There's water baptism that it talks about, and Peter here said, what keeps them, because the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them, just like he was poured out upon us in the beginning, who can stop us from this group of of people receiving water baptism. Now, here's what they were struggling with. They were Gentiles. They weren't Jewish. They were Gentiles. And so that's why the Jewish believers that were with Peter were amazed. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Even the Holy Spirit, that God has poured out this gift upon them also. And so they were baptized with water, but Jesus, it said about Jesus that John baptized with water, but Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. So if you've ever heard about the two different, there's water baptism, about being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, here I want to say something. I want to say something to you, church, that there's all kinds of great renewals that have happened throughout the history of the church, and even the what we call the Spirit-filled movement that has happened kind of in our lifetime. That movement kind of began in the Catholic Church, people hungry and seeking more of God and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Also, back concerning Pentecost, Charles Parman and different things, that there was a group of students that were hungry for God. They began to fast and pray in a Bible school, and the Spirit of God fell upon them. But what I want to tell you is we don't want to get into any error, any mistakes that we've made in the past concerning being filled with the Spirit. We have to be careful with how we use this incredible gift and the terminology that we use, and sometimes even the things that we do, because it can be misunderstood. And not only misunderstood, it can be rejected, not because of the truth, but rejected because of the misuse of something. Paul dealt with this. Paul dealt with the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit in church settings. Paul said this. He said, I thank God that I pray in the Holy Spirit more than you all. And what he was talking about there was praying in tongues. Now, I don't know about you. I mean, I know some people are like, did your church pray in tongues? Did your church believe that? They're like, whoa. Well, some of it's because of misunderstanding, and some of it's because of misuse. All right? I'm just going to be transparent. All right? We haven't done everything right. Okay? Just like some of our terminology. How many remember the full gospel meetings that we used to have? The full gospel meetings. And I love those meetings. I was young. We went to those meetings. They had the testimonies, the full gospel. People getting filled with the Spirit of God. Full gospel. We were all running around. And we'd run into people. And they'd be, well, where do you go to church? You go to the Baptist church? You go to this? No, no, no. I go to a full gospel church. So what's my church? Maybe half? Maybe three quarters? And what we didn't understand was by our terminology, we were closing the door for us to bring that truth to them. And what we didn't realize, to be honest and transparent, we were probably a little bit of pride. See, I got the whole thing. You just been dumped halfway. Come on, right? I'm just being transparent. But we mature, don't we? Yes. We grow up, right? Because as kids, we grow up. And what are we growing? We're growing up to the same image. We're growing up to be his body, to be his hands and his feet. Okay? I mean, I was watching someone just the other day. And they're talking about the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. And the minister, and I'm just telling you, I'm going to be transparent. The minister's just playing to the crowd. He goes, we don't say Holy Spirit. We say Holy Ghost. And everybody goes berserk. We're not going to say spirit, we say ghost. Not to scare anybody, but to scare the devils. And everybody goes crazy. I'm going to just be transparent. That ain't nothing but playing the crowd. Because in the scripture, it's the same word. It just means air. It just means spirit. Because the word pneuma. But what that does do is that someone tuning in, flipping the channels, they're like, ugh. Okay, I want to be transparent, okay? But at the same time, I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying let's be mature with what God's given us, okay? Now, it's got quiet. Hopefully no one was watching the same channel I was watching the other day. Number two, the Holy Spirit dwelling in us is God's gift to us. The Holy Spirit. They said the Jewish believers were amazed because God had poured out his gift of the Holy Spirit on the Gentiles also. The Holy Spirit dwelling in us is God's gift to us. Now let me ask you this question. The Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights in whom there's no shadow turning. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to you and me. Him dwelling on the inside of us is God's gift to us. John chapter 16, verse 4. Let's go on to number 3 this morning. We're just kind of laying a foundation this morning, getting some things established. John 16, verse 4 says, I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I'm going to him who sent me. And none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Okay? What's going on is Jesus begins that transition in his ministry. He begins to talk to his disciples that he's not going to be with them forever. See, they're thinking he's going to set up a natural kingdom. He starts talking to them. He starts talking about how he's going to suffer, how he's going to be crucified, how he's going to die, he's going to be buried, even how he's going to rise again. But he said, I've told you, I'm getting ready to leave to go to the one who sent me, and none of you are asking me where I'm going. But he said, sorrow has filled your heart because I told you I'm getting ready to leave. Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. The Helper is the Holy Spirit, which I just talked about under point 2. He said it's to your what? Advantage. I give you the definition of advantage. Let me ask you a question. How many want an advantage? In 2019, you're gonna face some good times. You're going to be on the mountaintop, and you're also going to be in the valley. How many of you want an advantage for 2019? God's gift to you. The word advantage, when you just look it up in a regular dictionary, means creating favorable circumstances that increase the chances of success or effectiveness. Creating favorable circumstances that increases the chances of success or effectiveness. Let me ask you a question. How many want your chances of success increased? Come on, that's a good thing, right? Amen. I remember one time that this was back in high school, and one time we was at a football game, and it was at our home field in Hutchinson, Kansas, and we were playing McPherson High School, and some of the seniors that I was hanging out with, they said, man, let's go over the other side and let's get something started. Let's go over the other side. Let's start some trouble. Let's go over there and let's get in a fight or something like that. So we went over there, and we took with us about, there must have been about 65 freshmen and sophomore, and we all went over this big old group, and a friend of mine who said, let's go and start something, he started something. And I remember the guy's name, because I mean, I had some friends at McPherson. His name was Toby. And he started it with the wrong guy. But all I remember is we had like 65, 70 people. And all of a sudden, some people started coming out of their stands. And I remember turning around, looking at the group that we brought, and all you saw was the bottom of their tennis shoes. All 65 of them running back over to our side. Every freshman, every sophomore, gone. I said, where are you guys going? We're going to get more help. How many know that we just lost our advantage? Thank goodness I saw my friend Chris. He used to live across the street from me. And I said, Chris, we can't do this. Because now they outnumber us. Our advantage just left. Our ability for success has dwindled. Greatly. All right? Now I'm not sharing this story that say that you need to go out and do this. But how many like to have the advantage? How many like to have more numbers on your side? Now, sometimes in life, it looks like that. It looks like we're at a disadvantage. But remember the prophet in the Old Testament, when his servant came to him and said, now look what you've done. Now you ran your mouth. You did all these things. You ran your mouth. You prophesied. You did all these things. You ran your mouth. Come outside now. Look. Now look. We're surrounded by all the armies. They found us. And what did the prophet say? The prophet said, Lord, open his eyes that he might see that there's more with us than there are against us. The Holy Spirit living on the inside of us gives us that advantage. The Holy Spirit being on the inside of us, the power that raised Christ from the dead, dwelling in you, gives you that extra to have the advantage over the enemy. Can you say amen? Now I want us to dissect this word advantage in the Greek. It comes from the Greek word, and I give it to you. It's S-U-M-P-H-E-R-O. S-U-M-P-H-E-R-O. It means to bring together to be profitable. Combine in a way that brings a profit or gain. Bring together to be profitable. Combine in a way that brings a profit. That word, I'm not sure how you pronounce it. I think it's sampero. Okay? It comes from two Greek words. It's actually a compound word. And I give you those definitions. One of it is S-Y-N. It means together with. And pyro means to carry. Okay? This is significant. This is significant. Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go. It's to your advantage. Because I will send the helper. Okay? Now, in this advantage, there are two things coming together. Bring together to be profitable. Combine in a way that makes or brings a profit or gain. There's two things that are being combined. One is us. One of the ingredients that are being combined is us with the Holy Spirit. The advantage is that together, the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, and us working together with the Holy Spirit, gives us that advantage. It's like if you try to carry something. You ever seen somebody trying to carry something by themselves? And maybe they can get it, and maybe they're dragging it. Maybe they're kind of half of it's up in the air and the other half's being dragged, and they're trying to get it somewhere, and all of a sudden someone comes along, whoa, let me help you. Or maybe they're standing at a door and they got all these packages and they're putting their knee up like this and they're trying to reach out with the other thing, and then all of a sudden someone who's sitting there watching a movie, they see that and they feel guilty, so they get up and they run and they open the door and then they're helping you out. The Holy Spirit doesn't take over. The Holy Spirit combines with us to give us the advantage. You've got to understand something about the Spirit of God. Unlike demonic spirits, the Spirit of God doesn't possess you. The Spirit of God doesn't make you. The Spirit of God won't force you. God doesn't do that. So in order for us to receive or us to walk in the advantage, we have to cooperate, learn how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in our life. Amen? Even when someone's filled with the Holy Spirit, even when someone's baptized with the Holy Spirit, I remember way back in the day, praying in the Holy Spirit. Some of you may pray in the Holy Spirit, some of you may not. We're going to cover all those things. I'm going to invite you to experience that incredible gift in your life. But I remember people saying, man, nothing's happening. And we'd have to explain to them, it's not the Holy Spirit taking over. It's you cooperating with His Spirit. It's a two-part word, together with, to carry. It's like you've got this side, the Holy Spirit's got that side. The Holy Spirit dwelling in us is to our advantage. Number three, the Holy Spirit dwelling in us is to our advantage. Number four, real quick, John 14:16. We read this, and I'll ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth in the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. John 14:26 says this, but the Helper, to help her. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring into your remembrance all that I've said to you. John 15:26. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. John 16:7 says this, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. The word helper there means call to one's aid. An advocate, an intercessor, a counselor, comforter, helper. Called to one's aid. Number four, the Holy Spirit is called to your aid. That's his calling in your life. He's called to aid you. I don't know about you, but I want the advantage in 2019. I know I'm going to face trials. I know I'm going to face difficulties. I know I'm going to face those things. But I also know that the Holy Spirit on the inside of me, the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of me, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, he can quicken my mortal body, give life to my mortal body. And with him in my life, me cooperating with him gives me the advantage over the enemy. Can you say amen? Look at this in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Wrapping up. In the same way, the Spirit also what? Helps our weaknesses. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. But he said to me, Paul said, the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is perfected in what? Weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That is why, for the sake of Christ, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. Notice something, Paul goes to a mountain of things there. Oh, weaknesses, insults, in hardships, and persecutions, and difficulties. Now, you're talking about somebody that everywhere he went, I mean, stoned, left for dead, in prison, beat, scourged. About one time the crowd was so enraged that they were about ready to rip him apart. He goes through a mountain of things there. Now, certainly, Paul's a good man. Full of the Holy Spirit. Why was his year full of those things? Why was his year full of those types of things that coming against him? I'm not teaching you this morning that living life on full, that it's going to be, huh? Was that off key? Destiny's clapping. Tammy's shaking her head. Tom's being honest. Life's, you want to help me out with that? I'm not teaching you this morning that when we get done with this series, that life's going to just be a bed of roses. Exactly. Not going there. Huh? Life's not going to be like that. Paul says in insults and all these things I'm going through. But what did he say? He didn't stop there. He said, when I'm what? Weak. Then I'm what? Strong. The Holy Spirit is called in your life. It's a gift. He's a gift from God. Now think about this. He could not be given. He could live. He could dwell with us. He could be around us. But he could not dwell in us until Jesus was glorified. And that's exactly how the church was birthed. Jesus ascended, sat down at the right hand of God, and he told them, he said, you wait. Don't you go anywhere. You tarry in Jerusalem. You wait. These are the ones that lived with him. These are the ones that saw him after he had been crucified. He said, you wait here until you receive power from on high. Why? Because he had not yet been given yet. Jesus had not yet been glorified. When Jesus sat down at the right hand of God, the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, and they were filled with the power of the Spirit. Can you say amen? We're going to get into all those things. But But I'm going to tell you this morning, I'm not prophesying and telling you that you ain't going to go through some difficult times and that you're not going to feel weak and that you're not going to feel like all hell's broken out against you and that you're not going to go through the valleys and that you're not going to go through the struggles. No, what I am telling you is that when you're going through those struggles, in two parts of your being, you may be on empty, but in one part of your being, you can be living on full. Amen. Full of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Romans 8:11 again in closing, if the spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised up Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. The same power, think about this, the same power that raised Christ from the dead is inside us. Even in our weaknesses, can you say amen? His power rests upon us. Father, we just thank you this morning for your word. And God, I thank you for your incredible gift. Holy Spirit, we want to cooperate with you. We want to walk with you. We want to learn. We want to open up our lives to you. And everything that entails. Father, we need an advantage. Life is hard. This world, God, is full of all kinds of chaos and tribulation. But Father, I thank you that we're not of this world. Jesus, since you've been glorified, you sent that helper that will abide with us forever. And Father, we want to be full. We want to be full of the Spirit. Not functioning, operating, Father God, on empty. Not trying to do this on our own. God, we want that gift. We want that gift. Father, I pray for each person that's in here this morning. God, I pray that the Spirit that you've given us as that incredible gift would dwell in their life in fullness. And Father God, they'd be full of your Spirit. So that God, even when we're weak, we can declare that we're strong. Stand up with me this morning. Before we go, I just want to take a moment. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Just close your eyes this morning. It's just turn noon. It's just turn 12. We're doing well on time. We'll let you out here in just a minute or two. I just some leading on the inside this morning. I just feel like the Holy Spirit wants to speak into someone's life, maybe one, maybe more than one, but at least one that's here today. Or maybe you even came. Maybe you said within yourself, or maybe you even said it out loud the last days or today or last week or so. That something, God, something has to change. Something has to change. If it doesn't change, Father, I don't know how I can go on. Maybe you came here this morning and said, God, it's got to change. It's got to change. It's got to change. I want to pray for you this morning if that's you. No one looking around. If you're here this morning and that's speaking to your heart right now, maybe in the last days, weeks, you say, God, if something doesn't change, I don't know how. I want to pray for you before we leave this morning. And God's speaking just not only so that I can pray for you, but so that you can know that he's heard you. That you're not alone. If you're here this morning and that's you, no one looking around, just slip your hand up right where you're at. I'm going to pray for you before we go. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. I see your hand. 5 or 6. I'm going to look across the congregation one more time. If you didn't raise your hand and you need to raise your hand, no one's looking around. I'm just going to pray for you before we go. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I want you to know that God cares about you. If you didn't raise your hand, I think there's at least one more. I don't know why I feel that on the inside of me, but I think there's just one more, and God wants you to know how much he loves you. If you didn't raise your hand and you need to raise your hand this morning, just surrender to the Holy Spirit. Just say, that's me. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. Let's pray. Thank you. I See that? Now here's your solution. Here's your answer. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit in your life. That's the change. That's the change. I tell you what, sometimes when I get that place where God, I need a change. I just need some fresh infilling of His Spirit. Father, you saw the hands that went up. God, you know why they raised their hand. You know what they're going through. You know the situation. And Father, I thank you that you love them so much that God, you spoke specifically to them. Now, Holy Spirit, I thank you for just touching them right now where they're at. As they open up their heart and their life to you, Holy Spirit, fill them. Holy Spirit, just fill them up. Hallelujah. Fill them up. Bring the change that they need. Bring the strength that they need. Bring the peace that they need. Bring the comfort that they need. I don't know who this is for, but I think it's for one of those that raises their hand. I'm going to bind the spirit of condemnation and guilt over your life so that that will be lifted. Jesus didn't come to this world so that you could be condemned. He came to this world so that you might be saved. Father, I thank you for forgiveness and mercy. I thank you for your goodness. Jesus, you said those who sins we forgive are forgiven. And so, Father, if there be any sin in their life that they need to be forgiven, oh God, I thank you that it's forgiven right now. But God, I break that power of guilt and condemnation, that spirit. Guilt, condemnation to go. Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit filling them. Peace. 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 Thank you, Father. Now, God, I thank you that as we leave this place, we go, that your Spirit doesn't stay here. We don't have to come back here to find Him. God, He goes with each and every one of us. Father, we're hungry for you. Like Pastor Tony said this morning, if we seek, we'll find. If we ask, we'll receive. And if we knock, it'll be open to us. Father, we want to be filled with your Spirit, full, in Jesus' name. If you agree with that this morning, just say, amen. 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 God bless you guys this morning. I appreciate your tenderness. We love each and every one of you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. God bless you. Don't forget to come up and see us. We invite all of you to become part of a team life, life team member. Need camera workers, ushers, greeters, however you'd like to get involved.